I just want to welcome all of you to this service. This is a service with a difference because our Lord every day, He completely shows us His new mercy. When we meet with the Lord every time, we can expect something different. We can expect something new. We must never come to the Lord and say, we'll have same old, same old. If we come like that, that's us that have chosen. Because He says His mercies are new every morning. Every day when we wake up, His mercy is new. So we can receive it. If we don't partake, that's us that have chosen. Amen. And this morning, we are starting a new series on the Holy Spirit and the kingdom. We live in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That is where we live. We are kingdom representatives. The word of God has to be preached to us. We have to receive the word of God until it manifests in our lives. We must not say we've had that word before. We must allow the word of God to take root in our hearts and have it produce that which God wants to accomplish. So we can hear the word of God or a theme in all the messages that we preach, because Jesus Christ is who we preach. So our messages will always be related. We can even use same terms or same phrases, same verses. Why? Because we preach Jesus Christ and nothing else. But the Lord in Him wanting us to get the revelation of who Christ is, He is going to come from different angles. He's going to show us this side of Christ today. Tomorrow He shows us this side of Christ. Another day He shows us another side of Christ. But everything is about Christ. Amen. Now this Christ has brought us into the kingdom of God. That is where we are. That's where we live in. So in other words, everything that is preached then is about the kingdom. But now for the coming weeks, I believe that God just wants us to go back again and relook at the role of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom. We've looked at our faith that has brought us into the kingdom. We've come to understand what the kingdom is. But there is somebody who is very important that is here on earth today, that is ensuring that the kingdom of God is active and it is experienced by God's people as they receive it by faith. And that person is the Holy Spirit. So we will take time now to allow the Lord to open to us. Who is this Holy Spirit? And we want to come to a point where when Jesus was on earth, the disciples knew when they had trouble, they knew where to go to. They would go to Jesus. Now, when He was about to leave, He said to them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He said, I will come back. But before that happens, what will happen is God will give you another. One version says helper. Another one says comforter. Another one says advocate. Another. So in other words, you hate me. Now that I am leaving you, there is somebody who is coming to take my place. So don't feel as if you are on your own. Know that as I've been with you, this person of the Godhead, he is coming to be with you. If you will open your eyes, you will see him. He said, the world cannot see him because they are not looking for him. So when you open your eyes, you will then see him. But if you don't open your eyes, you will not see him. You have this ever-present help with you, but you may not experience that help if you do not open your eyes to see it. That is how the Holy Spirit is. He is not going to force himself on us. We have to be willing to open up to him and say, you are with us, Holy Spirit. What do you have for us? What do you want us to do? What is the best thing for us to do? What does the Lord Jesus Christ want us to do right now? Because he said, when he left, he said, you, Holy Spirit, will take of him and declare that to us. So what would he have us do today? We can have that relationship with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. But we have to use our faith to believe that he is with us. Or else we'll be like the world that cannot see him because they are not looking for him. They don't know about him. How can they look for him if they don't know about him? So they will start looking for him once they get to know about him. So we who know about him then need to look for him. Let us be aware that he is here on earth, just like Jesus was on earth with his disciples. The beautiful thing is, now we are getting a personal service 24/7. Those disciples were with Christ when he was among them. When he's gone somewhere else, they didn't have him. So there was that moment. But fortunately, Jesus said, it is more important for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. You will always be limited to me being with you in one place at a time. And when you don't see me, you know that I'm not there. But when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will be with you all the time. And he said, do not expect anything less from him. So everything that you expected from me, expect exactly the same from him. And he had told them before, he had said to them, everything that I do, it's because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do all this. So he just said, I am who I am here on earth in terms of what you see because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. God needed a man to come and redeem human beings, his creation. And now he had to anoint this man. Jesus came as God. But when he functioned here, he functioned as the second Adam. So he functioned as a man. And that man needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And everything that he did through the Holy Spirit. So that is why then he was saying to his disciples, I want you to know that you are not worse off that I'm leaving you. know that I am gone, but another one is coming to be with you. If you will seek to see him, I can promise you that you will not go without. You will have everything that you've experienced while I was with you. Now that says to you and I, who haven't had an opportunity to spend time with Jesus, we must do our best to get to know this Holy Spirit. The disciples had to leave what they were busy with and seek this Christ. They had to spend time around him because they wanted to hear him talk. They wanted to receive what he had. So the way that they pursued Jesus Christ, it's the way that we should pursue the Holy Spirit, because he is the anointing. He is representing the Godhead here on earth. So let us seek the Holy Spirit. Let us follow him. If he says go this way, go that way. If he says do this, do that. Just as if Christ was here giving instructions to his disciples. That is what we need to know. That he is another. So it's the same. It's Jesus now. Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, he said, the Father and I will come and live in you through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So when we listen to the Holy Spirit, we are listening to Jesus himself. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is not going to glorify himself. He is going to glorify me. So the Holy Spirit represents Christ. He represents Jesus Christ. He represents the Father on earth. Therefore, let us seek him. Let us seek him. Let us seek him as if we were seeking for Jesus Christ. Let us be aware that he is with us 24/7. So if we go without a word or from God giving us instructions on what to do, it's not that the Holy Spirit is not there to give that word to us. It's that we are not listening. It is that we are not hearing. Because he is forever speaking. Forever. You know, he's like a radio signal. We don't have a radio in this room here. But the signals, there are many radio signals that are in this room. If we can just bring the radio here and put it on, what is going to happen? We will pick up the signal. So the Holy Spirit then, he is forever speaking all the time. Are we hearing? So, how do we then help ourselves to come to a point where we can hear the Holy Spirit and get direction from him? Let us keep on hearing about him. Let us talk about what he does. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, if we hear about the Holy Spirit, our faith in what he can do for us, it is going to rise. And we will start seeing him doing what he says he will do. Because our faith is the ingredient that is needed for us to access what he does. So it is critical then for us as believers to always be reminded of the fact that we are not alone, but we have the Holy Spirit. And that is why I believe the Lord is wanting us to go through this series now, the Holy Spirit and the Kingdom. We want to see What does he do? We will probably cover certain aspect per Sunday, but then you will understand that it's the same Holy Spirit that does all those things. So we need to be aware of that. You know, as a person, I've got different functions. When I'm at work, I am an employee. When I'm here at home, I am a father. I am a husband. Do you understand? So this one person has got different responsibilities. And so now the Holy Spirit, we talk about his power. But his power can be seen in many ways. It can be seen in kicking the devil out, healing sickness. But his power as well can be seen in changing a person's life. It's still his power. So when we talk about the power of God changing people's lives, we must not think that that's not the Holy Spirit who is doing that. We must not just think that the only thing that the Holy Spirit does is kicking the devils out, healing sicknesses and diseases, and you know, setting the captives free. All those things are what the Holy Spirit does. So he is a very important, I'm trying to say to you, he's a very important person. Let us give him the attention that he deserves. And how do we give it to him? We just be aware that he is here with us and he wants to work with us. And once we become aware of him, we will become aware of what he is saying and what he is doing. That is what I want us to get to when this series is over. Now, our first message on this series is the promise of the Father. Think about that. The promise. When the Father gives a promise, the Father fulfills the promise. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father.
Amen.
God would never, ever not do what he promised. He promised to give us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He's a promise. So now we will look at him as the promise of the Father. Let's first look at John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of his belly. And this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the rivers of living water. He says, whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. And you will not thirst again. That is what he said to the woman next to the well. He said, if you drink the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. the rivers of living water. So the Holy Spirit life gets out to people because of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Amen. When we minister and life comes to people, it's not us that did that. It's the Holy Spirit that brought that life. Amen. The beautiful thing here, it says now, out of our bellies, rivers of living water. So even I, if I need to drink, I can drink out of this river or out of these rivers. And notice it doesn't say that a river. Rivers of living water. The healing of the Lord comes in many ways. Many, many ways. Now, it's the Holy Spirit that flows. And you know what? As we draw from that river, we'll get what we are looking for. You can understand why at times people, they so much believe in water. Because they've come to associate with scriptures like these, where the Bible talks about water, living water. But people need to understand that we're not talking about physical water. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he could do all that he did because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. We see this in the book of Luke chapter 4. When we read verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." Now, I want you to see how God's solution comes to his people as you read this part here. You'll notice that God uses a certain pattern to bring solutions to people that are in need. Let's look at this, and I want you to tell me what you see. He said to the poor man, what did he do? Did he bring them food? He preached the gospel. Get that. And he said to the captives, what did he do? Did he come and take off the chains? He said he came to proclaim liberty. He said, what did he come to do as the last thing that he said? I have come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, let me start reading it correctly now. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we know that the Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, God sends his word to heal and to deliver. So God uses his word. That is why we need to always preach what God has done for us. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. When we preach the good news, people are set free. Amen. If we do not preach, how will they believe unless somebody preaches it? So we must preach that we are already in the acceptable year of the Lord. When we preach that, people will believe that and they will receive it. People cannot receive anything unless somebody preaches it to them. If we continue there, it says, he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent me to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. As we said, Psalm 107 verse 20, God says he sends his word to heal and deliver. People just need to believe that promise. But they will not believe the promise unless somebody preaches that promise. We are also now able to do the works that Jesus Christ did, and even greater than that. Why? Because he gave us the same Holy Spirit that empowered him when he was on earth. He said, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon me, that is helping me, that is enabling me, empowering me to be able to do this. Now, then he turned around to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. In chapter 7, he said the Holy Spirit had not come because he had not been glorified yet. He had not gone up to the Father. So when he left Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came down. Then he said, the works that I do, you will do also, because I'm going to my Father. Verse 13 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is what Jesus promised. Did he lie?
No.
He cannot lie. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is his promise to us. And then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What commandment has he given us? The commandment that we have, according to 1 John, is to believe on the name of the Son and to walk in love. And the Bible tells us that we now love because he first loved us. So when we start focusing on how much he loves us, that love then comes out of us and we are able to love. So God is not demanding anything from us that he did not give to us. He gave us his love. And as we focus on his love, then we are able to love. The Bible tells us, when it says now we have to believe on the name of his Son, the Bible says even the faith that we use to believe, it's not our faith. He has dealt to us the measure of faith, all of us. We're using the faith of God to believe in God. He has provided everything. So then he says, if you love me, he says, keep my commandment. So believe in me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, if I'm not mistaken. Believe in the name of the Son and walk in love. That those are the commandments that we are given as the New Testament church. Verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. You've had me as a helper. He's going to give you another helper. This is beautiful. It says, that he may abide with you forever. He will never leave you. It doesn't matter where you are. He will never leave you. Let's look at this word, helper. What does it mean? In the Greek, the word is parakletos. I'm sure they don't pronounce it like that, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what it is. And that word means an intercessor. Look at what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's an intercessor. So he intercedes for us, but he can also make us, help us to intercede for other people. He is the intercessor. That is why when we go into an intercession, let it be led by the Holy Spirit. He can intercede. The Bible says he knows the mind of God. So he will intercede correctly. Amen. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 26 tells us. It says, with groans that cannot be uttered, he intercedes. He takes hold together with us. Another one is, he is the consoler. It says he is the advocate. And the last one, he is the comforter. This is according to Strong's concordance. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have an intercessor. You have a consoler. You have an advocate. You have a comforter. That is great. And when we continue reading verse 17, it says, the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot. It doesn't matter how much they wish. They cannot receive him. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. The other version, it says, they are not looking for him because they don't know about him. It says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Remember, this is before Jesus Christ left. So he is with you, is among you, but time will come when he will be in you. So this Holy Spirit now is inside us. Amen. That is, there's, I don't know how much you would want him to be close to you. Mm-hmm. He is inside you. There's nobody that is closer to you than the Holy Spirit. Nobody. He is inside you. Now then, when you start stepping back and you look at Jesus Christ and his disciples, and he says this to his disciples, I think perhaps he expected that they would say, wow. You were with us. You are saying the Holy Spirit won't just be with us. He will be with us forever. He will never leave us. And beside that, he is going to be in us. Jesus, when are you going? This is just me thinking now. He expected them to be excited about the Holy Spirit. But like all human beings, we hold on to what we have. We think what we have is the best. And we don't want to let go. And that keeps us from entering into the best that God has for us. You know, there are people, the Bible tells us that there are people that followed Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And when he died and he went they went away because they did not understand this part here. We know that the Bible tells us that when Christ told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, it says the crowd was bigger than 120. So these people, he came back, they saw him, he spoke to them, he told them that, you know what, I am alive, you can see, this is me, believe in me, and you know what? And he said, then I'm going away now, and with me going away, the Holy Spirit, in few days' time, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's coming down, so do not go anywhere. Wait here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. When he was gone, they thought, this is it. He is not here. And then they said, you know what? We'll go and carry on and do whatever we wanted to do. Why? Because they always thought Jesus was the best thing. But they did not understand the plan of God, that God wanted to multiply Jesus. And the only way he could multiply Jesus, it would be for Jesus to come and be in his people. And when he comes to be in his people, he would come through the Holy Spirit. And then the works that Jesus Christ did, God then would have more people doing those works, and even greater works than what Jesus Christ did. God expected people to understand that, but because people, they always get stuck on what they have seen, some people decided to move away. So, according to God, he wants us to know that we do not need Jesus to be here physically, because he is inside us now through the Holy Spirit. So we are not alone. Under no circumstances should we ever feel like we are on our own. If God could just come down and help me. No, God has come down. He is here. It's the same as with the songs that we sing at times. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come with your presence and power, whatever. Where should he come from? If he's already inside you. We say, Lord, come and be with us in this service. He should come from where? Because he is here. So, we as Christians at times, we act like the world. We act as if the Holy Spirit is not here with us. Because just listen to what we say. Now, Lord, I am leaving. Come with me. He said he would never leave you. Why would you say now, come with me? So we act as if we don't understand what we have. And that is why we need to be taught the Word of God. And when we're talking teaching, it's at times we've got so much of preaching, fire and brimstones. And you know what? And getting into our emotions and getting people excited, and they leave the church. You ask them, what was the topic about? God was moving. God was moving. No, what was the message? I can't remember. But God was moving. And people come to churches seeking that. Seeking the demonstrations. People do not seek. Jesus said something when the people came following him. He said, "You are not following me for anything other than the fact that I gave you bread to eat." People follow God for what they can get from him. So, we have to understand then that God is inside already. He is inside us. He is with us all the time. And he is with us through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. We lay the foundation today. We want to lay this foundation, and when we start breaking this word apart in terms of the different things that the Holy Spirit does, we know that he is with us. He will never leave us, and we do not need to prime him. We may need to prime ourselves. If I say we don't need to prime him, we don't have to rev the Holy Spirit before he starts moving. He is forever ready, but we may not be focusing on him. So we need to focus ourselves back on him. And as soon as we focus ourselves back on him, we will see that he was always on and moving and doing things. And then we will catch up with him and we'll run with him. So what we're trying to do then with the word now is to get our focus away from other things, to bring it on the Holy Spirit. Because then once we put our eyes on him, we will be aware of what he can do. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and verse 8. Verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." They were supposed to wait for the promise of the Father. And that's our topic for today. The promise of the Father. God will never withhold the Holy Spirit from us. Amen. He promised us. So we can have the Holy Spirit. Once we are born again, we get the Holy Spirit. It is the promise of the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so whoever needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's yours to take. It is yours to take. Verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water unto what? To repentance." That was the baptism of John. It was the baptism unto repentance. "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And verse 8, it says, now it shows you that our baptism brings what? It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." John's baptism was unto repentance. This baptism is bringing you what? Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when he has come upon you with this power, now what will happen is you've got now the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. Amen. Then when you walk around, people will see Christ in you. Because he says now, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." People shall see me because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, he has the rivers, or he is the rivers of living water. So if you need healing, people will see you healed. If you need provision, people will see you provided for. If you need your life changed, people will see your life changed. Therefore, you will be witnesses to me. People will see you. And they will see me. When they want to see me, they will look at you. So, Bazalwane, for us to be able to be effective witnesses, and witnessing is not talking about us telling people about Christ. No, he says you'll be witnesses to me. So it's talking about what? Showing what Christ has done for us. That is going to come to pass because of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We must honor and treasure the Holy Spirit. Our lives as believers is dependent on the Holy Spirit. You cannot disregard the Holy Spirit. And we must allow the rivers. We must not restrict the Holy Spirit and say he only brings salvation. No, he brings the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. The 9 gifts that are listed in the Bible, he brings those. The Bible also, it talks about the 9 or the five ministries that the Holy Spirit brings. So we need to receive all the rivers that the Holy Spirit has put in us. Allow all those things to flow. The Bible says he is going to even resurrect. He is going to quicken our bodies. There is the Holy Spirit. If we do not pay attention to the Holy Spirit, we are missing out. He is the most important person in our Christian walk. Most important. While we are here on earth, Jesus said, himself and the Father are in us through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you can blaspheme the Father, you can blaspheme me, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that sin will never be forgiven. And what was he talking about when he said that? People were saying the works that Jesus was doing, the miracles. They were saying that he was doing those miracles through Beelzebub. And he said, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When you say the works of the Spirit is the works of the demons. How many churches out there that say speaking in tongues is of the devil? Prophesying. Whatever. They say it's the devil. Miracles happening. God doing miracles. People say it's of the devil. That is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you read the context of what Jesus was saying when he talked about people blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So we have to be aware of the Holy Spirit. And he is already inside. We don't have to ask him. I'm just thinking about that song. Come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your glory and praise, something like that. Who was singing that song? Was that a believer or an unbeliever? Was that a believer who was not baptized in the Holy Spirit, or it was a believer that was already baptized in the Holy Spirit? If it is a believer that is baptized in the Holy Spirit, he does not understand who he has. We do so much of that. And I really believe that God is grounding us through this word on what is ours. He's helping us to understand what we have already. So we do not have to fast for 2011 days before the Holy Spirit comes. He is present. We may have to fast for 2011 days to get ourselves sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So when you fast and you pray, don't say we're praying that the Holy Spirit will move. Fast and pray so that you can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Can you tell the difference? Because He is there already. He is present with His power. So we are trying to get ourselves to be in tune with Him. So when we need to understand that praying and fasting do not benefit God. They benefit us. And it's not that God looks at us and say, okay, you've fasted enough, you've prayed enough, now I will give you the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And when He came, the Bible tells us here in verse 8, it says, we will receive power. So we already have that power. We don't have to try and get more power. We already have it. But we may not be in tune in such a way that we pick up what the Holy Spirit is doing and what He's saying. That is what we need to understand as the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. He is the promise of the Father, and the Father will not let us go without what He promised us. So we have Him. Let us stop ignoring Him. Let us stop acting as if we are orphans. We are left alone, as if God doesn't care about us. He has done everything that He promised to do. Amen. The promise that we would be empowered when the Holy Spirit comes upon us was also prophesied by Prophet Joel. We love the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us about things that were prophesied. It's so important for us to understand the importance of the prophecy, because God wants to show people that thing is done by me. So what does He do? He tells it before it happens. He foretells that thing. So that when it happens, you will not say, it's just a coincidence. You will know that God spoke about it. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. It says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is now on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples and they started speaking in tongues. The Bible says now people started saying, no, these people are drunk. They are full of wine. And Peter answered and said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. This is important. On all flesh, a Jewish flesh, a Greek flesh, or whatever you are, flesh, God will pour His Spirit upon all flesh. And then what He says then, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Look at that. This is another thing that we have. It says all of us can prophesy. When we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says something exactly like that. He says, I wish you would prophesy. He says, you know what? You can speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, get interpretation for the benefit of the body when you're speaking in tongues in a congregation. But he says, I wish that you can all prophesy. It's available to us. Here God says, you're God's son, eh? He says here, or daughter. He says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What do you mean when you say prophesy? That word, prophesy, it's talking about foretelling events. So sons and daughters will be able to foretell events. You and I can foretell events. It's talking about speaking under inspiration. I've taken this from Strong's Concordance. It says, prophesying is to exercise the prophetic office. You may not be a prophet, but you'll be foretelling events and speaking under the unction as if you were a prophet, but not that you are a prophet. Not everybody that prophesies is a prophet, but a prophet prophesies. Amen. It says, now your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. What do we mean by a vision? It says it's the act of gazing. It's an inspired appearance. It's sight. Young men will see visions. We will dream big dreams. The Bible says, they that know their God shall do great exploits. Because of the Holy Spirit that has come to us, God will inspire us to dream big dreams. See visions. It says your old man will dream dreams, which is vision in a dream, something seen in a sleep. Can you see these people? Because of the Holy Spirit, even when we go to sleep, we are now old, we have achieved things in life, but when we're sleeping, we'll still see visions, things to come. We may not be out there to do those things, but we'll see those things coming afar off. It's the Holy Spirit that is going to do this. And it says, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Can you see now? This includes all of us. The Holy Spirit has been poured upon all of us. He is not upon a selected few. When He gives offices, He gives specific anointings upon specific individuals. But He has come upon all of us, and we can all prophesy. We have to understand the subject of the Holy Spirit, because if we understand Him, we can walk with Him. And that is what we're doing here now. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 continues to say, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus now. He's gone up to the Father. He promised them. He said, I'm going to the Father and I will ask. He said, I will pray that the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, this is talking about him having resurrected now. It says, after he was exalted on high, it says he had received now the promise of the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He poured out this which now you see and hear. So Jesus is the one that was pouring the Holy Spirit out. And that atmosphere, the way the Holy Spirit came on that day, and he was coming into the earth for the first time. And when he came for the first time, he has never left again. He's here, the Bible says, until when the body of Christ is taken up. Then we will go. He will come with us. So we should not ask him. We should not tarry. These guys had to tarry and wait. And after 50 days from his resurrection, only then that's when the Pentecost came. But do you think we have to tarry for the Holy Spirit to come? Do we have to tarry and wait for him to come? He is here already. So what we just do is we receive him. That's why they had to spend so much time tarrying and waiting on God to bring the promise. But the promise is now given. Jesus received the answer to his prayer to the Father for him to give his disciples another comforter. Then he gave him to his disciples on Pentecost. Now, conclusion. We can conclude that the Holy Spirit is freely given to us. Therefore, we receive him by faith, not through attaining certain standards. Just to show you the last two verses, just to get this point across. Galatians, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, Christ did redeem us from the curse of the law. I'm reading from the Young's Literal Translation. So it would be a bit different to your version there. There's a reason why I chose this version. Now he says, Christ did redeem us. It's in the past. He did redeem us from the curse of the law. The law said, if you do not meet me, you are cursed. So all the curses that would come upon us for not keeping the law, we have been redeemed from those curses. All of them. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you read from verse 15 until the last verse, you hear curses that would come on people for not keeping the law. We are redeemed from all those cases. Who redeemed us? It's Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become for us a curse. Do you remember that Jesus said, he said, not even a dot of this law will pass. And he said, I did not come to remove the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. So the law that said you'd be cursed for not keeping it, it stood right through and nobody could remove it. That is why Jesus Christ had to become the curse for us, or take the curse on our behalf. So the law, the curse of the law was not just put aside, but that the law was satisfied. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. That is why then we cannot be cursed anymore. Amen. We can live under the curse if we do not know our rights and privileges. But the law cannot curse us anymore. Because Jesus, he became a curse for us. It says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanging on a tree. Verse 14. And that to the nations, the blessing of Abraham. Now, Jesus, him dying on the cross, that made available to the nations the blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham? It was to become the heir of the world. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. God promised that Abraham was going to be the heir of the world. Now it says, Christ, him dying, he made available everything to us. That's the first thing. This is the first thing that Christ availed through his death, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. But then the second thing is that the promise of the Spirit, as Christ promised, that the Spirit would be poured upon all flesh. That is another thing that was guaranteed by the death of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit coming down was guaranteed by the death of Christ Jesus. When he took the curse, when he took that curse, then God, look at this now, look at this. We always say God is not going to pour his Spirit upon a dirty vessel. When God could not pour his Spirit upon a dirty vessel, he could not. So then he had to cleanse the vessels. How did he cleanse the vessels? He cleansed the vessels through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what it means that now God can pour his Spirit upon us, because now we are cleansed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before God, we are pure and holy. So God does not use us now because of our acts of holiness. He uses us because of what Jesus Christ availed for us. So we can access, we can accept as well the Holy Spirit now. He can come upon us. So God can anoint us. God has anointed us. That is why the Bible says the gifts of God are without repentance. Romans. The gifts of God are without repentance. That is what has happened here now. God has made up his mind that he's going to give us his gifts, and he will give us those gifts. Now, you find people that are anointed of God, but because they do not understand their gift, God has, especially the gift of music. You find people that are musicians that God has anointed to be musicians in the house of the Lord. But because people do not understand God, what do? Then they take their gift and go and use it in the world. And they are as anointed as they would be in the house of God, because it's a gift. It's an anointing that God has given to that person. And how many people were saved just because somebody who was not born again started speaking about God? There are a lot of people that God saved because it's not the person that saves, it's the word that brings the salvation. God has anointed the word. So we must not then think that I need to be pure and holy for God to use me. No. The Lord will make you pure and holy because there is a benefit for you. But he uses you despite of who you are. Accept that, receive that, and enjoy that. In closing, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Okay, I'll start from verse 2. It says, "This only do I wish to learn from you. By works of the law, the Spirit did ye receive, or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you met certain standards of the law, or you just believed?" The Bible says, you just believe. That is why the tarrying thing and waiting for 2017 days is not biblical. It's not understanding that the Holy Spirit has been given to us already. And we've received Him by faith, not because we've met a certain standard. Verse 3 says, "So thoughtless are you. Having begun in the Spirit, how did we get born again? How did we get saved? We did not have to change ourselves to be saved. We just believed what God provided for us, and then we have it." Now he says, these guys, having begun in the Spirit like that, now then they say, now we need to start walking in a certain way. That is what churches do. They say, now that you are a Christian, you must be now like this. So you must work towards becoming this. That's not right. You get there by faith. You believe that God has attained that for you. And then as you start seeing yourself like that, God said what in Romans chapter 12 verse 2? It says, "Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind." As you renew your mind to see yourself differently, to see yourself the way that you are in Christ, then you are going to become what God wants to be. You don't work towards that. So how do you get there? You get there by faith. So now here Paul says, you are so thoughtless. He says, where is this now? 3. So thoughtless are you. Having begun in the Spirit, now in the flesh, do you want to end? So do you want to attain things in the flesh now? And verse 4, so many things did you suffer in vain, if indeed, even in vain. Verse 5, he therefore who is supplying to you the Holy Spirit and working mighty acts among you, by works of law or by the hearing of faith, is it? Is he supplying to you the Spirit? Is he performing miracles among you because of you following the works or doing the works of the law, or by you hearing by faith and believing? So we receive the miracles of God, not because, God, I have done this, so now I deserve this. No, that's the old covenant. You just believe what God. Go to the scriptures. Find out what God has done for you. Believe that. When you believe that, you will get it. The same thing, the Holy Spirit as well. You just believe that He is the promise of the Father. He is given to us. And because He's given to us, then what will happen? We are going to receive Him. We do not receive the Holy Spirit and His demonstrations because we have met a certain standard that is set by law. We simply believe that God has given Him to us, and then we receive Him as a gift through faith. We don't have to work to receive Him. We may need to take our focus away from the things of this world, and if it calls for us to spend time in the Word and in prayer for you to take your focus away from the things of the world, then you do that. And once your focus is on the things of the Lord, then you'll be aware of the gift that God has given to you. And because of that, then you will see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But it's not that your reading the word, your praying is what brought the gift of the Holy Spirit to you. No. You became aware of it and you could receive because you took your attention away from the things of the world and you focused on what God has done for you. So we receive our baptism in the Spirit. We receive our healing. We receive our deliverance, our provisions, etc. All those things, we receive them by faith, not by the works of the law. This is the word I wanted to share with you this morning. We have the gift of the Father. And this gift of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He is with us already. We have Him. We don't have to beg God to give us the Holy Spirit. But when He comes complete. He did not come with just one part. So then, our task then is, let's go to the Word and find out what the Holy Spirit does. And then know that He will do that for us. Everything that He does. And when we receive that, then we'll have Him. Praise the Lord. Amen.